I'm John Byers, and what a super great joy it is to welcome you to worship at the end of this snowy week and to welcome you to the house of the Lord. Now, I woke up this morning and I couldn't see beyond my front window because it's so foggy. Have you ever felt like you're just walking around in a fog?
Yes.
My prayer today is that the light of the Holy Spirit of God is going to be so clear, so piercing in your life, that God will give you the capacity to see His call on your life, which will bring great joy and deep fulfillment. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Would you join me as we still ourselves now in the presence of God? I've got a lot of voices competing for my attention. How about you? Mm-hmm. Voices from the outside? I got voices from the inside competing for my attention. And in this moment, I want to hear God clearly and know clearly of His presence. Let us still ourselves now, believing that He is here, believing that He has a word, a message, an impulse for each of us. So great God, in Jesus' name, we confess this day that life is messy and complicated. And often we face really, really tough choices and hard situations. And how we wish You would simply step into the mess that we have made and tell us exactly what to do. God, how we wish that You would write a to-do list for us every day in the sky so we would know clearly what to do. But God, that's not the way You interact with us. Instead, You give us the capacity to discern Your presence and discern Your way. And Lord, that's hard work. That's hard work to bring the light of Your Spirit into every situation. That's hard work to weigh our words, to weigh our decisions, to weigh our priorities against Your eternal values. God, You think so much of us that You have given us the free will to make godly decisions. So we pray in the midst of the challenges that we face that You would empower us, direct our minds, strengthen our hearts, open our hands, quicken our feet, that in every action, every decision, every investment we make would be for Your greater glory and the greater good of Your people. God, we ask You in this moment to live through us and to live in us, that we might know the joy of collaborating with You, of being valued as Your agents of hope and healing and restoration in the world. That we are more than just puppets carrying out orders. We have been empowered to be the very hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we ask You, give us the discerning power of Your Spirit, that through the Spirit of God, You might work in us and through us to the world, as we love and serve others. God, I thank You in this moment that You're here, that You want to bring clarity to every situation that we're in, and You want to empower us to make godly decisions. Because we trust You, we join our voices together to praise You. Because we need to be reminded that we're not alone, but we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses and brothers and sisters, we pray boldly, aloud, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. William Shakespeare famously wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. Our entrances and our exits are scripted, our words and our actions and our placement predetermined, and we are left simply to do what we are told." I wonder, did Shakespeare get it right or not? This morning we're continuing our challenging series entitled, "Why?" Making sense of God's will. And this morning I want us to turn to a perplexing question that I fear has many believers ground to a halt in their spiritual lives. It's a cry almost of despair. Why can't I see God's will for my life? I wonder, could it be? This question to consider. Does God have a specific will for each decision we make, every action we take, and every word we speak, as though our lives have been scripted and predetermined before our birth? Or is God's will rather a set of principles and precepts by which we live our lives? I ask this question for this reason. I fear that too many wonderfully committed Christians are absolutely certain that God is in absolute control, that every day of your life has already been scripted, and you are just waiting for God to direct you. Oh God, give me a to-do list every morning. Write it in the sky. Some of you guys know what it's like to wake up and have a to-do list presented to you each morning, but that's not the kind of to-do list I'm talking about today. Could it be that we are frustrated in our spiritual lives because we are expecting God to direct everything we do, when that is not how God has chosen to reveal His will in Holy Scripture? Rather, God gives us a framework by which we are to live our lives. And as we do, to paint a great portrait, write a great epic novel with our unique verbiage, the unique colors that our lives bring. What if God's will for our lives is less like a script and more like a blank piece of paper or a blank canvas, very clearly bordered, but with a great deal of open space whereby you and I make our unique mark on this thing called life? Could it be, instead of directing our every move, God values us so much, which is why He gave us the gift of free will? God celebrates the diversity, even peculiarity, of personality, and gives us the latitude, the permission, to color life with our unique palette of colors, to fill the page with our unique words, to trust us to be His agents of hope in the world. I have had my understanding of the will of God profoundly changed over the years, from less of God predetermining my moves, predetermining the events of my life, and rather offering a parameter and inviting me to discern my actions, to live into my unique personality. And I find that wonderfully freeing and incredibly empowering. God wants to collaborate with us in making our lives a great masterpiece. But I wonder, is that your view of the will of God? This morning I briefly want to outline three classic understandings of the will of God and see sort of where you are in this process. The first classic view of the will of God is this: God's plan is written in advance like a manuscript for a play. Therefore, tapping on the chair right now has been preordained by God. The person that we will marry, preordained by God. The job we will have, preordained by God. Our very speech pattern, preordained by God. Now, if that's true, that God is absolutely in control of everything in our lives, and He has predetermined a perfect plan for us, then unfortunately, this ultimately leads to God being responsible for all evil and justice and injustice in human history. If we believe, as some fiercely say, that God is absolutely in control of everything, you and I are simply to do what we're told to do. Well, a second view of the will of God is known as God's permissive will. Yes, God has a perfect plan for your life and my life. It's been scripted. It's been determined. But He allows us to make choices. The problem is sometimes our choices are not according to His plan. But God in His grace is big enough that He can even take our biggest mistakes and use them for His good. We get off course, He brings us back. We make mistakes, He cleans up the mess. But could it be there is a third, more liberating view to begin with? This view is called God's prescriptive will. Prescribe means to write before, but write what? Here's the idea. God does have a plan, an outline, if you will, for the story of your life and my life, but He invites us through the gift of free will to collaborate with Him as to how we will fill in that outline every day. How we will color it, what words we will use, how our unique personality is valued and honored and redemptive in living into God's plan. Therefore, every decision, every encounter, every challenge is an opportunity for us to collaborate with God in writing the stories of our lives. And when we do collaborate with God, then the great portrait we're painting, the words on the paper then are an epic of redemption, of love, of hope, of possibility, of beginning again. Now here's the idea that I want to introduce into your theological vocabulary. God is not as much interested in what we do, but how we do it. God is not so much interested in what your particular job is, but rather how you do what you do. And that's called the prescriptive will of God. God prescribes how we are to redemptively be His agents. And then He gives us the latitude of free will, the latitude of spiritual gifts, the latitude of natural inclinations and interests to fill in the page, to draw the portrait. Instead of us simply being puppets fulfilling a preordained script, God values us enough to say, I want you to decide how you will love me. I want you to decide how you will give me glory. I want you to decide how you will do good for others. If that's true, then we need borders. We need a prescription. And I believe that the Bible is the certain place that we find God's prescriptive will for our lives. If we understand God's will is more interested in how we make our decisions than with the specific decision itself. Let me illustrate. For every little Jewish boy or girl preparing for adulthood, they sort of have a confirmation process. They don't call it confirmation. They call it preparing for their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Every Jewish boy or girl has to learn one particular verse of Scripture that is primary for our Hebrew brothers and sisters. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, specifically verse 8. We know it by its first two Hebrew words, the Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Bible says, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's a word of internal attitude. Put God first in all that you do. As the story of redemption is laid out in the Old Testament, it becomes very clear that to put God first has to have ethical implications. And the ethical implications are the effect of our lives on others. So God speaks through the prophet Micah, Micah 6:8, when he says, "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." You see how loving God, putting God first, has the ethical implication of showing God's character of mercy and kindness to others. Jesus pulls this together in Matthew 22 and Mark 12 when he's being questioned by a scholar of the law, which is the most important commandment, trying to trip Jesus up. And Jesus goes back to his confirmation training. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. He adds strength. And the second is like unto it. What does he say? The ethical implication. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, love your neighbor in proportion to the restored sense of value and dignity and worth that Jesus has granted to you through your encounter of faith. Show that same kind of possibility and love for other people. If all of that is true, and I believe it is, God is much more interested in how we do what we do rather than simply what we do, because the implications matter. If that's true, then the will of God for your life is perhaps more liberating and broader than you ever thought. I wonder how many of us sit and wait. God, what would you have me to do? God, what do you want me to do? When instead he trusts us, he's given us the prescriptive borders, and he says, go and do within your unique personality. Do what you do with only two conditions. Do what you do to bring me greater glory, and do what you do to do for others greater good. If we could understand God's will that way, then we would not be so uptight about what our job is. It's how we do it, the difference that we make. There was a period of time when the super spiritual were the clergy. Unfortunately, it was a period of time when the clergy were the most reprehensible people on the face of the earth. It was the Middle Ages. It was Martin Luther who reminded us that there's dignity in the everyday, that you can use your everyday work to accomplish the will of God when you do it for the greater glory of God and the greater good of others. The unknown but named Brother Lawrence Monk in that same time period grew close to God, finding God's purpose for his life, peeling potatoes in a kitchen. He did what he did for the greater glory of God and the greater good of people. And he found great fulfillment in peeling potatoes for the glory of God. Here's the word that God is revealing to me. You can be God's agent of redemption right where you are and feel the power of God, the fulfilling power of God, whether you're a preacher or a teacher, whether you're a policeman, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're an executive assistant, whether you are an executive, whatever place you find yourself, you can use that place to fulfill the will of God. If you ask God in this conversation, God in this transaction, God in this investment of my time, how can I act in such a way that brings you greater glory and brings greater good to someone else? I could have been a lot of things. In fact, I was going to be a lot of different things. I am not super special because I'm a preacher. I was going to be a Latin teacher. I was going to be president of the United States. Then I was going to be a lawyer. And then I began to discern, God, with the uniqueness that you've given me, with the unique gifts that I have, how can I best bring greater glory to you and greater good for others? And I felt God calling all of those pieces together to be in ministry. But you can do the same thing by asking a couple of questions. You're a unique personality. God's gifted you. What do you really like to do? Or what are you really good at? What do you really like to do? And what are you really good at? What excites you? What would you do even if you weren't paid to do it? Then ask a question. Okay, God, this is the way you've wired me. This is my natural gift. This is my spiritual gift. God, how can I take all that you've given me and use it for your greater glory and someone else's greater good? Now, what happens when those two intersect is there is a deep sense of fulfillment and value that comes into your life that money can't buy. And you can do that wherever you find yourself. Now, the only challenge I have is this. You may be in a place right now where you honestly say, because of what I'm being asked to do, I cannot do it with integrity. I cannot do it in such a way that brings glory to you and greater good for others. And if that's the case, then God is speaking his discernment in you, and you need to find another place. You need to find another place. You need to seek out another place where you can use your gifts for his greater glory and for the greater good of other people. What if God values you so much? God has built into you spiritual gifts, natural talents and abilities, that he has not preordained what you do, but gives you the joy of discovering who you are. And within his prescriptive framework says, put your gifts to work. Write an epic story with your life. Paint a magnificent portrait with your life. And whatever you do, do it for the greater glory of good of God and the greater good of others. And I think that is what Paul is saying in our scripture lesson for the morning. Colossians chapter 1 is a favorite chapter of mine. And in these verses, beginning in verse 9, Paul is not talking about God directing us. Paul is talking about our spiritual discernment when he writes, For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Why? We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. I believe that's His prescriptive will. Through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. What would it mean for you if you decided today that the will of God for you is less like a script, God preordaining everything you do, and more like a blank canvas, a blank page? And God wants you to use your giftedness, your natural talents and ability, your supernatural gifts of the Spirit. What you are good at, what you're passionate about, and use that for His greater glory and someone else's greater good. When those things come together for you, as they came together for me when I was in college, I can say that no matter how long the days, no matter how many the challenges, no matter how many disappointments, no matter how many setbacks, there is a deep sense of fulfillment and joy that will come. I believe God's given you a blank page, an empty canvas. What will you do to fill the page? What colors will you apply to the canvas for His greater glory and for someone else's greater good? When you come to that discerning understanding, then you will know what it means to live and fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen. Here's my challenge for you this week. How will you ask God to turn your profession into a vocation? How will you ask God to take what you are really good at, what you are gifted at, and use it for His greater glory and for someone else's greater good? Now that is something to think about and to pray about. As we conclude our service this morning, I turn your attention again to the back of the connection card. And with St. Paul, I want you to know, you who are a part of this great church, I am continually praying for you that God would grant you insight to His will for your life with wisdom and understanding and perseverance and even joy. I invite you to mark these verses from Colossians 1. At the bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me, and thank you for allowing me to be on your spiritual support team. Maybe you've been a guest for a while and you're ready to learn more about becoming a part of this great church. I'm hosting a Java with John next Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock. An opportunity just to informally visit over coffee to talk about the ministry of this great church, what I believe it means biblically to follow Jesus. Talk about you becoming a part of this church by transfer of your church membership or perhaps by profession of faith and baptism. Love for you to be a part of that gathering. And I also invite you to prepare your morning offering. We give because He first gave to us. And we give so that this church can be His agents to do for others in His name. As the music plays, we'll give you just a moment to complete the connection card, fold it over and drop it in the offering basket, as well as prepare your morning offering. And together, we will have a part in winning the world for Jesus Christ. Every Sunday I reflect on this prayer from Numbers chapter 6. I love it. Not just because I learned it as a boy in MYF, but because God is so intentional about wanting to bless His people. We don't have to beg for God to bless us. It's our character. It's His character to bless us. But He says, I want you to have access to that blessing. So here's what He tells His preachers in the Old Testament. I want you to put My name on My people. And when you put My name on My people, I promise I will bless them. You know what an honor it is for me to fulfill that command from God, to know that He is using me as an agent to bring blessing in your life? That's what the Word of God says. So this may be the highlight of the service every Sunday. The joy of getting to be a conduit of the blessing of God. And this is what God said to pray. And I've expanded it just a little bit, interpreted it, if you will. But it's these words that I offer to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And I believe His facial expression is that of a healing and approving smile. And best yet, through all the challenges of life, give you peace. Perfect peace. And so I mark you now as a servant of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.